Live from Swindle Studios in an unknown location, this is Valuable News for Valued Listeners. With your host, a concerned citizen.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Valuable News for Valued Listeners. I am your host, a concerned citizen. As always, we have a perfectly adequate show for you planned today. But first, let's do a bit of housekeeping. March 17th, 2024. That's the premiere date for Swindled Season 8. We hope you are as excited as we are, he says while staring at the giant pile of books on his desk. As always, thank you for your support and patience. Very excited about what's to come. But speaking of books, you might have seen me post about this on social media recently. I was surveying you, the audience, about an idea that I have. So, every time I find out that one of the subjects of these Swindled episodes has written a book, I buy it for my own personal amusement and research, of course. And over the years, I've accumulated a lot of unintentionally hilarious books written by people like Nicholas Alaverdian and Doc Gallagher, Kwame Kilpatrick, Jim Baker, etc. But after I'm finished producing their episodes, they tend to sit on the shelf all forgotten and lonely. And like I said on Twitter, it's come to my attention that a lot of people use Swindled as a sleep aid. So what if we start a little book club and I read these books to you and comment on them in real time as extra sleep-inducing bonus content? And I know it won't be for everybody, but clearly there's a demand for it. So let me know if you're interested and maybe I'll consider it, as if I need more on my plate. But really, I'm always trying to come up with new things to keep us all interested. For example, do you remember a while back when I solicited listener stories from you? It was probably almost a year ago at this point. I don't remember. Anyway, first off, thank you to everyone who sent in their personal stories. There was so much fascinating stuff to dig through, and I was excited about that little project, but sorry to say, it will not be happening, and I will tell you why. It's this one guy's fault. A guy that I will not name, but he was a con artist, or a former con artist, a reformed con artist. He ripped off a bunch of former friends and lovers. He was tried, convicted, spent time in jail. His story was the subject of a couple of news articles. Anyway, this dude reached out to me, offering to tell his story. So I did a little research on him, figured it was interesting enough to follow up on, and we scheduled a call. Before that scheduled call, I made it clear that our meeting would be recorded for use in the podcast, and I sent him a release form to sign and return, which he did. Sweet. We're all set. And so eventually we had this planned call, which lasted probably an hour or so. And this guy is pouring out his guts, telling me his life story. You know, he's crying and remorseful, and he just wanted to, I guess, make up for all the harm he had done in the past by sharing his experience. Cool. I can help with that. But then, a few days later, I get an email from him with his lawyer copied. And long story short, he's asking for compensation. Thousands of dollars for the rights to his story. He said there were TV networks, including Netflix, that had circled back to him for a potential docuseries or something. That's fine. That's his prerogative. But ultimately, I decided it wasn't worth the time or money to deal with other people at all. So I'm scrapping the whole idea. I hope you understand. I guess I was a bit naive about how complicated these things could get. And again, I appreciate everyone who sent in their stories. And if I ever do decide to do something with them, I will reach out for permission. Just don't expect thousands of dollars. Deal? Anyway, that's just one of a slew of recent disappointments. There are plenty of other things I could talk about, but I'll let good judgment prevail and shut my mouth for now. Everything is out of my control anyway, so sorry for being a bummer, but this past year was very, how do I say this? Very challenging for us here at the Swindled Corporation for a multitude of reasons. In fact, there was a time when the future of the show was in question, and it still is, kinda. Speaking strictly business, I feel like I'm losing my confidence. I've lost that sense of momentum, you know, I'm full of self-doubt. I need some guidance. I need a sign. I need help. Luckily, I know just the right person to call.
Hello and welcome to Psychic. The cost is only 75 cents to $1.18 per minute. You must be at least 18 and have a touch-tone phone. If you know the extension of the psychic you want, please enter it now. To listen to available psychics, press 2. To purchase receipts, press 9.
When you hear the psychic you want to talk to, press 1. To listen to the next psychic, press 2. To repeat the message, press 3.
Hey, you reach press 1 to be connected to me. I have experience for 15 years. I do crystal readings, card readings, all sorts of life. I look forward for speaking with you.
To be connected to the psychic, press 1. To listen to the next psychic, press 2.
No, thanks.
To repeat the message.
Hello, my name is press 1 on extension. I am your intuitive career coach, relationship guide, your inspiration about making a fresh start, and pet grief counselor. The voice of spirit speaks through me to you. You feel the direct connection, protection, and love. The vibrations are high. Press 1 on.
To be connected to the psychic, press 1. To listen to the next psychic, press 2. To repeat, please hold on while we are connecting you to this psychic.
Good evening. This is. I'm here for you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very clearly.
Perfect. I'm a little nervous. This is my first time calling a psychic. So I don't really know how it works.
It works however you want it to work. I feel your energy. Just open up. Imagine yourself as a bud. Just open up and I'm here. And I'm very gentle.
Oh, that's good news because I have a lot going on that I'm trying to get a little insight and some guidance.
I feel that. I feel the confusion, but I feel that already the tension is lessening in your face and in your body. Just relax. Let's take it one thing at a time. What's really eating you the most, confusing you the most right now? Let's look at it.
It's career related. I'm just kind of at I feel maybe like I've plateaued. And I really don't know what direction I'm headed or what's in the future. There's just so much unknown, you know, and it kind of worries me. And I need a comforting voice like you to point me in the right direction, maybe.
Okay. The first thing you have to realize is in this marketplace, it's an unusual one. It's like the Industrial Revolution. It's a very strange one. And traditional planning and thinking doesn't work. Rule number one is to protect your income. You have to look at protection of your income. You're not going to take any risk in a new career or looking for a job or being agitated on a job that will risk your income. You're going to protect your income. Now, when you're looking in terms of the fork of the road, you're saying, okay, what is my best shot for income that's not going to destroy my mental health? It's really much simpler now because there aren't that many choices anymore in terms of, you know, it really is black and white. You have to protect your income and you don't want to destroy your mental health, and employers are out to destroy your mental health. What were you toying with in terms of the fork in the road?
I was just considering maybe doing something else and a career change maybe, but I'm not really good at anything else, so I'm kind of stuck. And
I published a major article on that. Career change is very, very hard because you're giving up your skill set, you're giving up your network, you're giving up your confidence in what you know, and you could be putting at risk your income because you don't know if it's going to work. There's nothing wrong with career change, but take it slow. While most of my clients, while they're doing their job and doing it well and are keeping their cards close to their vest, They're also getting informational interviews. They're talking to other people in other lines of work. What's it about? You know, how do you think I can make out? They're starting side businesses, things like that, or getting certifications. No one is making rash, bold moves. You can explore. Or you could think about a side business. Everyone seems to be setting up micro businesses. They get a lot of satisfaction, and eventually it could build to be, they don't have to be employees anymore.
Yeah, I have a lot of experience with micro businesses, actually. But what you're describing, it seems like it's going to take a lot of time, and I guess that's my worry, is that I don't have that much time to make such a rash decision, and the safer option would just to be keep doing what I'm doing, right?
Well, it seems that the new wisdom is hold on to what you got until you have a real sense that you could grasp onto something that's comparable. The rule of thumb right now is to hold on to what you want, what you have, find joy and satisfaction off the job and say it's just a job. The whole game has changed, and people are learning to be more satisfied with what they got because it pays.
That's kind of sad, don't you think?
The work world has changed. The employers have the upper hand. It is like the Industrial Revolution. They're into extreme cost cutting, and that has nothing to do with you or your performance. If they don't need you anymore, you're gone. I would advise holding on to what you have. You will sense, I promise you, intuitively you will sense if your job is in danger. Meanwhile, I would advise you getting satisfaction from other parts of your life. That is sad.
That's really good advice.
That is sad.
I feel better already just talking to you. Do you think there should be a revolution?
Yes, there needs to be a revolution. I mean, everything for years now, everybody has been trying to tame capitalism. Capitalism globally is out of control. There will be a revolution, but probably I don't know how successful it will be. I would say in America, it's too expensive. They'll be homeless in a revolution. I lived through the counterculture. That went jolly fine, and it was all socialism, everything free. It was wonderful. Take what you want in the stores, leave what you don't want. But then the severe recession came in the mid-70s, and we all cut our hair and put on clothes and shut up. Now, this is that the standard of the cost of living wasn't as high as now. If you want to be in a revolution, either you're going to have a lot of power and be a trust fund kid, or be willing to risk anything. It is very bad. It is very bad. I advise people, if you have a chance to join a union, join a union. I mean, blue collars have always known that. They've always gravitated towards the jobs and the organization that were unionized. Unionization is one solution. It's some protection. It's someone who has your back.
Yeah, as a psychic, you can't, you know, maybe I'm just misunderstanding, but you can't really tell me what's going to happen?
Most clients call me and they're very nervous. They're very nervous. You don't have to be nervous. This isn't your cup of tea anymore. I mean, you're not excited. You wish you could just float into something that would, you know, spark you like when you were a young man, and you're learning, and you learn. You can learn new skills. You can learn new technologies, and maybe that would be exciting. What I feel is that your interest will go towards relationships, both romantic and closer relationships with other people, that you will be less focused on a career. You're doing quite well. You're doing exceptionally well. I would say you're in the upper 20% of people who have to make a living. Maybe not in earning power, but overall the situation you have. I see you becoming more, reaching out more open to romance, to close relationships, to finding social groups, maybe it's a church, maybe it's a spiritual organization, maybe it's, I don't know, what the gym, and becoming very involved in organizing activities, you will discover that relationships are so engrossing, and you learn so much, and you feel so good, and you feel like you belong. That's what I see.
You're so full of wisdom. This is awesome. I'm really enjoying this. I also wanted to ask you about...
1 minute.
Oh, I have 1 minute left.
Go ahead. Yes.
Do you need to know my astrological sign or anything like that?
Does no, that but I, are you a Taurus? Are you a end of April, beginning of May?
No, I'm a Libra.
Oh, because I feel you're so grounded. I mean, you got where you got where you are because you're so grounded. Your feet are on the ground. You understand pragmatism.
I guess I'm okay after all.
You're wonderful. It's just you have to tell yourself, I have to get out of the house, and it's kind of hard, but within 6 weeks, I will feel comfortable with all this. The gym is the new dating place. The gym is the new church. Everyone goes to the gym.
Hell yeah. I'm going to do that now.
Do you do that? Yes, you
Wow, I feel reinvigorated. Can't you hear it in my voice? I'm not going to the gym right now, though. Fuck that. How about some case updates instead?
Former Austin Automotive Group executive Eric Mond was convicted on Friday of murder for hire. Jurors determined that Mond, Adam Carey, and Byron Brockaway were responsible for the 2020 murders of Holly Williams and William Lanway. All defendants face a mandatory life sentence.
On November 17, 2023, a jury found 48-year-old Eric Charles Mond and two other defendants guilty in a murder-for-hire case. According to the U.S. Justice Department and FBI, Mond allegedly paid Byron Brockway, Adam Carey, and Gilad Peled around $750,000 to kidnap and murder Nashville residents Holly Williams and William Lanway after Lanway attempted to extort Mond over details about Mond's alleged relationship with Williams. This story was covered in the prelude of episode 97, The Droller. Fun fact, ABC's 2020 news program also featured the Mond case in a recent episode and reached out to yours truly for a feature under the stipulation that I show my face and use my real name. I politely declined. Eric Mond's trial lasted just over 2 weeks and featured the testimony of several federal and local law enforcement officials and cooperating witness Gilad Peled. Prosecutors used phone location data, bank records, security video from Holly Williams' apartment, and recorded conversations between the co-defendants to establish their guilt. All three defendants are facing life sentences. You know who else received a life sentence? This guy.
I can't sit here and righteously justify my actions because they're heinous and selfish. I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't do this. I'm not going to play a victim card. I most certainly played my role, and I wholeheartedly regret it.
That's Nicholas Shaughnessy. He was the main subject of the aforementioned Droller episode. As you might remember, he and his ex-wife, Jacqueline Edison, paid two men to murder his father, Ted Shaughnessy, to collect the inheritance. Nick and the hitman were sentenced to 35 years each. From prison, Nick Shaughnessy spoke publicly for the first time to Fox 7 Austin.
Jackie and I had gone to Austin originally to tempt ourselves, but ultimately it couldn't. Like I was too cowardly. You know, I'm not that. I couldn't do that myself.
Despite there being evidence that Jacqueline Edison was directly involved in the murder-for-hire plot, by all accounts, she received a slap on the wrist. 10 years of probation that requires her to report to jail for 2 days each year on the anniversary of the murder.
My ex, she got a plea deal of the century, like 2 days in county for 10 years. Like, yeah, what? Where do they do that?
Jacqueline Edison has not spoken publicly about the case, but CBS's investigative show 48 Hours recently covered the Shaughnessy murder and caught up with her outside of court. Unsurprisingly, Jackie feels these sentences were appropriate.
Nick got 35 years, the hitman got the same, you got 120 days. Are you getting away with murder?
No. I think that it's fair. I think it accurately reflects the level of involvement.
What Corey and Nick have both told us is that you were a partner in this murder plot.
Yeah, I think Nick is saying whatever he has to say to kind of clear his name. And Corey is very much in denial about what really happened.
You weren't in on this plot.
And not in. No.
Didn't get money out to pay the hitmen.
No, ma'am.
On the contrary, Nick Shaughnessy told Fox 7 that he fully accepts responsibility for his role in the murder of his adopted father. Behind bars, he hopes to repair the relationship with his mother, whom he had also tried to have murdered, and continue his education.
So, you know, part of this is to take accountability, and the other part is to show my mother that what I did is not who I am.
While in prison, Nicholas says he's working on his associate's degree and continues to write his mother.
Continuing the theme of dead parents, the recent viral TikTok video has renewed interest in an unsolved murder.
My mom was a very popular stripper in the early 2000s, and as you can imagine, that industry, you meet a lot of powerful, rich, famous people. My mom ended up having an affair with the mayor of the city, who was married at the time, so yeah. Things got messy, and the mayor of Detroit's wife actually assaulted my mother. Instead of paying my mother hush money, the mayor decided to pay off cops in the city to murder my mother. There's a lot of key points to my mother's story, but to make things a little shorter, she was murdered in a drive-by with police-issued guns. I worked in the industry myself, so I've met people who knew my mother, seen her around the mayor, and they do not want any parts of my mother's case. So to this day, it's an unsolved murder. There has been many podcasts, news channels reporting on my mother's story, a book written, a play produced. But after so many years of trying to fight for justice, I have been a standing lone wolf and I've grown very tired. So the former mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick, actually ended up going to prison for various other things after reports of my mother's death. Some people think he's great. Some people think he's a terrible, terrible man. But thanks to Donald Trump being his longtime friend in that industry, he pardoned him a few years ago. So now the man responsible for my mother's murder is just living his happily ever after life.
In January 2024, Ashley Jackson, the daughter of Tamara Strawberry Green, posted a video talking about her mother's murder that has garnered more than 4 million views. As you heard, Ashley, who was 7 years old at the time of her mother's death, claims that former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick hired police to kill Strawberry instead of paying hush money to keep their affair under wraps. Of course, these are merely allegations. Kwame has never been charged with the murder of Tamara Green. But Ashley Jackson is correct about one aspect. Kwame Kilpatrick, pardoned by former President Donald Trump a few years ago, has been living happily ever after. In previous episodes of Valuable News, we talked about how Kwame's launched his online ministry. He's also been recently named the executive director of a Tennessee-based nonprofit focusing on criminal justice reforms called Taking Action for Good. His salary has not been disclosed, but according to federal tax records, the organization's former executive director was paid more than $120,000 a year. Additionally, Kwame Kilpatrick's new wife, through an LLC for her consulting firm, just purchased an $800,000 home in Novi, Michigan. He's also leased a $90,000 2023 Infiniti SUV, co-signed by Kwame's mother, former U.S. Representative Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick. All of this while still owing more than $1.6 million in restitution and back taxes to the city of Detroit. Kwame Kilpatrick's life of luxury hasn't gone unnoticed. Now that he has the means to pay, we will be filing the appropriate paperwork with the court so that he pays his outstanding debt to the citizens of Detroit, Wayne County Assistant Prosecutor Maria Miller wrote in an email to the Detroit News. Yeah, good luck with that. Meanwhile,
a man who pleaded guilty for his role in the Cleveland Fishing Tournament cheating scandal is now facing criminal charges again. This time, 36-year-old Chase Kaminsky is accused of illegally hunting deer in Pennsylvania.
This fucking guy, 36-year-old Chase Kaminsky, made the news again in October 2023 for illegally harvesting white-tailed deer. According to the Sharon Herald, game wardens began investigating Kaminsky earlier last year after receiving an anonymous tip that he was killing deer out of season, after hours, and without a valid hunting license. Authorities searched Kaminsky's home in April 2023 and found 5 antlered deer heads that had been mounted between 2013 and 2021, a time period when Chase's hunting license in Pennsylvania was already suspended for multiple violations. 3 mounted trophy case deer heads were labeled with his wife's tags. Kaminsky's wife said she had never killed a deer in her life. If Chase Kaminsky's name doesn't ring a bell, allow me to remind you. He's one of the cheating fishermen who became infamous on social media in 2022 when they were caught putting lead in walleye to win a fishing tournament. Chase Kaminsky and his fishing partner, Jacob Runyon, were sentenced to 10 days in jail, fined, and had their fishing licenses suspended for those infractions. You can hear all about that scandal in the bonus episode titled The Anglers. In addition to the 8 pending wildlife charges, Chase Kaminsky is awaiting trial for an unrelated case in which he gave his 18-year-old son, Caden, 2 fake $100 bills to exchange at a bowling alley. Kaminsky was also charged with stalking and harassing his ex-wife, but those charges were withdrawn. Caden Kaminsky has pleaded guilty to a charge of theft by deception and was sentenced to 1 year of probation.
You got no rights. Who are you to talk? You don't need to be here, Mr. Colletti. Just leave and we'll turn your wife's head into spaghetti.
I'm not going anywhere, not leaving you alone. Who are you, a judge? I'm not gonna budge.
Oh, Anthony Colletti, how could we forget? The former hairdressing rapping husband of missing Sydney fraudster Melissa Caddick has officially withdrawn his multi-million dollar claim to his wife's estate. Anthony Colletti has previously attempted to stake a claim over assets including artwork, Melissa's Gucci wedding dress, jewelry, a wedding ring, and a watch. In November 2023, a court heard he will only keep his wedding ring, a watch, and 2 of his wife's dresses, but not her Gucci wedding dress, a far departure from his original claim. The rest of Melissa Caddick's assets have been auctioned off, including millions of dollars worth of property, art, designer clothing, and jewelry. Funny enough, in January 2024, Melissa Caddick's engagement ring, which sold for $7,000 at auction, reappeared in a small antique shop priced at $70,000. Reportedly, the notorious swindler's notoriety has inflated its worth. Meanwhile, 24 of Melissa Caddick's victims have filed a class action lawsuit against the auditors that failed to identify fraudulent documents and failed to confirm assets, which allowed the fraud to happen. At the time their home was raided and Melissa Caddick disappeared, authorities believe she had stolen more than $23 million. You can revisit this story in Swindled Episode 101, The Missing. Let's stay down under.
Alleged con woman Samantha Azzopardi has faced a Melbourne court, accused of ripping off specialist family violence support services. It's alleged the 35-year-old pretended to be from overseas to get accommodation, vouchers, and medical costs worth more than $18,000.
Classic Samantha. In October 2023, Miss Azzopardi, already facing too many charges to mention, was arrested by Victoria Police on another 13 charges. For obtaining financial advantage by deception. She is accused of dishonestly obtaining $18,837 from family violence and child sexual abuse support services. The incidents allegedly took place between August 25th and October 9th, 2023. I don't even know what to say anymore. Somebody help this poor woman. What's that? I'm just receiving a report in my ear that we have more news coming out of Australia.
She pulled off a heartless hoax, convincing the world she cured an inoperable brain tumour with healthy eating. Bell Gibson profited off misery and desperation as true cancer sufferers emptied their wallets. After her sick lies were exposed, the courts threw the book at Bell. But 6 years on, her $500,000 fine remains unpaid.
Poor Bell Gibson is having a tough go of it. The 32-year-old's longtime partner, Clive Rothwell, reportedly, quote, ditched her at the end of 2023. But that's the least of her worries. Ever since her infamous scandal more than a decade ago, in which Bell convinced the world she had an inoperable brain tumor that left her with only 4 months to live, before claiming she cured herself by shunning conventional medicine in favor of alternative therapies and whole foods, Bell Gibson has been unable to find a job. Therefore, she has been unable to pay the court-ordered $410,000 fine for her deception, which has now ballooned to over $500,000 due to interest. Ever since, Bell Gibson has avoided the spotlight. However, recently, the Australian media spotted her at a petrol station and approached her.
Bell Gibson, it's Sam Cucciara from A Current Affair.
Hi.
Is it time to pay that money back, Bell?
Don't put that camera up at me. Have some humanity. I haven't paid things because I can't afford to. Mm. You know I can't get into the workplace. I'm just here to get petrol. I don't appreciate you following me with my son. If you want to ask questions, you've got my email, you've got my phone number, that's it.
Do I get those details from you?
Of course, I'll give them to you now. Meet with me privately where it doesn't affect my son.
But it seems old habits die hard. There's no one else in Bell's car.
We're going to turn now to Johnson & Johnson, reportedly reaching a settlement related to investigations by over 40 states into claims it misled consumers about the safety of its baby powder.
On January 23, 2024, Johnson & Johnson reached a tentative deal to resolve its talc baby powder claims with more than 40 states. The company will reportedly pay about $700 million to the states involved in the investigation after being accused of failing to warn consumers about possible health risks. Eric House, J&J's worldwide vice president of litigation, told CNBC that the agreement is, quote, consistent with the plan we outlined last year. The company continues to pursue several paths to achieve a comprehensive and final resolution of the talc litigation, as was leaked last week. That progress includes an agreement in principle that the company reached with a consortium of 43 state attorneys generals to resolve their talc claims, end quote. Johnson & Johnson is far from off the hook. The deal with the 40 states does not include tens of thousands of lawsuits brought against the company by individual victims. Some of those cases are slated to go to trial this year. Meanwhile, Johnson & Johnson continues its maneuvering to limit its settlement payments. The company is reportedly considering filing bankruptcy for a third time after its first two attempts were unsuccessful. A bankruptcy court denied Johnson & Johnson's attempt to unload its litigation liabilities into a subsidiary in a legal maneuver known as the Texas Two-Step. Finally, it seems like that saga is nearing closer to the end, as is this one.
We're also tracking breaking news in a long-time, high-profile story of the Rhode Island man accused of faking his death and known by several names, including Nicholas Aliverdian, Nicholas Rossi, and Arthur Knight. British news outlets, including the BBC, are reporting Aliverdian has been extradited from Scotland back to the United States. He's wanted in Utah for charges of rape. He has continually insisted authorities have the wrong man, but fingerprints and tattoos were used to identify him.
It's official. Nicholas Aliverdian, Arthur Knight Rossi has been extradited to the United States from Scotland. Scottish ministers signed an extradition order in late September 2023, a final appeal where Aliverdian represented himself and spouted nonsensical conspiracy theories about buffalo meat, Ukraine, and former Utah Attorney General David Levitt was denied. The wanted rapist, who faked his own death, was finally delivered to Utah on January 5, 2024, after an extradition battle that spanned 2 years. When that day came, jail workers in Scotland claimed Aliverdian began, quote, roaring and crying as he was removed from his cell. Eyewitnesses claim he continued to fight as he got on the plane, quote, struggling so much that the fugitive's trousers fell down around his ankles. In Utah, where he had been charged with the sexual assault of two women in 2008, Nicholas Aliverdian made his first appearance in court on January 17, 2024, wearing his trademark oxygen mask, and continuing to claim that it was a case of mistaken identity in front of a judge who was seemingly unaware of the lore. Listen to this.
Number 36, State versus Rossi, 6768. Are you Mr. Rossi? Are you Mr. Rossi?
No, ma'am. You might have to take that off just to talk to the lady.
Is that a yes? I'm having a hard time.
My name is Alden, not your
brain. I think I'm going to have the jail restate what he said. I'm having a really hard time hearing him.
My name is Alden. Wait, hey. He says his name is Arthur Knight.
Brown.
Brown?
Arthur Knight, Brown.
I can't hear. Your Honor, have him state his name and date.
Yeah, we can't hear him at all. Can you ask him, can you please state your name and date of birth?
Can you get a little closer?
My name is Arthur Knight Brown. My date of birth is 22nd of the 11th, 1986.
Okay, I don't...
I think we're having a problem with understanding who this person is.
This is not number 36.
Your Honor, we've got him as Nicholas Rossi, but he's saying his name is Arthur Knight Brown.
No, that's one of the AKAs, it looks like.
What's your birthday?
We're having a really, really... Is it July 11th, 1987?
No, lady, it's 22nd of November, 1986.
22nd of November, 1986.
Yes, ma'am.
Your Honor, Tamara Vasquez for the state. This individual has been extradited, and he has not admitted his name or birth date accurately, and so... I don't think we're going to be successful on that today either. It's also known as...
Objection, my lady. That is complete hearsay, and I would ask your ladyship that the prosecution to cause for why they proceeded to allow...
Mr. Knight...
In the Supreme Court.
As unfruitful as that appearance seemed, it gets even slower. 6 days later, Nicholas Aliverdi and Arthur Knight Rossi just outright refused to appear at a scheduled court date in front of Judge Derek Polin in Utah County.
I'd like to begin calling the matter of State of Utah versus Nicholas Rossi. These are cases 20140275 and 22140365.
Your Honor, Mr. Rossi is still on his way down.
I'll wait.
Your Honor, Mr. Rossi declined today.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
He refused.
Very good.
Judge Polin rescheduled Aliverdian's initial hearing for February 6th. The judge said if Aliverdian is not ill and does not have a reasonable excuse to miss the hearing, he will issue an order for him to be brought into the courtroom using a reasonable amount of force. In the meantime, Aliverdian had another court appearance scheduled in a different Utah county on January 26th. Again, he was a no-show.
State of Utah versus Nicholas Rossi, 22190-6768. Counsel, please state your appearances.
Sam Dugan for Mr. Rossi. I will note that he goes by Arthur Knight, so that's how I will be referring to him.
Okay.
Tamara Vasquez for the state.
All right. We are informed from Utah County that he has refused to appear today.
The attorney assigned to him said that Aliverdian is suffering from multiple health problems, but hadn't had time to meet with their client yet. That hearing was rescheduled for March 8th. Back in Judge Pullen's courtroom on February 6th, Nicholas Alaverdian, or should I say Arthur Knight, appeared via video link. He was completely unintelligible.
Mr. Rossi, did you receive a copy of the charging document in each of these cases? Sir, can you hear me? Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You have to speak a little bit louder.
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Softer, Your Honor.
Thank
you. He says that he can hear you.
Thank Mr. you. Rossi, turning to the other case, ending 2758, do you have a copy of the charging document in front of you?
Your Honor. I'm not Nicholas Rossi for the record, but I have received the documents.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Judge Poland scheduled a waiver hearing for March 1st before Alaverdian was wheeled out of frame by a Utah County Jail officer. I guess the saga continues. Lucky us. Time for some headlines. From KJCT News 8 in Colorado, January 15, 2024. Sentencing of former Montrose funeral director Megan Hess upheld. The U.S. Attorney's Office has officially upheld the sentencing of Megan Hess, the former owner of Sunset Mesa Funeral Directors. Hess was convicted of mail fraud in connection to a scheme to obtain and sell human remains without consent in 2022. She was sentenced to a 20-year prison term. About a month later, from the Montrose Daily Press, Hess again presses for new sentence, new judge, and body sale scheme. From the Los Angeles Times, January 10, 2024. From bad vegan to mass restaurant closures inside Matthew Kinney's crumbling raw food empire. It's a very long article, and I didn't bother to read the whole thing, but the LA Times paints a picture of deceit, failure, and unpaid bills surrounding Matthew Kinney, the celebrity chef ex-boyfriend of disgraced New York restaurateur Sarma Melanguilis, who we covered in episode 76. Go check that article out if you're interested, because I'm not. From Reuters, January 23rd, 2024, Martin Shkreli's lifetime drug industry ban upheld. The court said, quote, "Given Shkreli's pattern of past misconduct, the obvious likelihood of its recurrence, and the life-threatening nature of its results, we are persuaded that the district court's determination as to the proper scope of the injunction was well within its discretion." From Bloomberg Law, October 10, 2023, Ponzi schemer Stanford loses appeal for a compassionate release. It was R. Allen Stanford's third failed bid for early release since he was sentenced in 2012 to 110 years in prison on multiple counts of mail fraud and conspiracy. And lastly, a rare update from an old friend. From the Miami New Times, January 16, 2024. Unrepentant Miami con man Jimmy Sabatino finds federal prison too confining. The article details Sabatino's experience living in the solitary confinement unit, sarcastically referred to as the Suites at ADX, a maximum security prison just outside of Denver. Currently, there are only two residents of the Suites, 47-year-old Jimmy Sabatino and drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. Those two men are not allowed to interact with any other inmate, including each other. Sabatino has found himself living in these conditions because he has routinely attempted to pull off financial schemes, even from behind bars. Without the restrictions, even Jimmy Sabatino himself admits his exploits would continue. "These restrictions benefit the public, not me," he wrote in a letter to a judge in 2022. "I hate these restrictions. They are terrible, but it is the only thing that stops me. I wonder if you people have any idea of how many crimes the restrictions have prevented. Literally, it has saved lives. I don't get nothing from this. The only reason I am okay is because, one, my father raised a man. I am strong and will not be broken. Two, I have Allah in my heart. And three, I live for the day that I can really achieve my goals." Me too, Jimmy. Me too. See you in season 8. Enjoy your Baker Minute.
Is there some way that you could print up a card of some sort that when people order the Baker's Dozens from now on, that they become a missionary of this ministry?
Yeah. And, amen. And I love that. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
They have it says that they're a missionary,
yeah,
and that they are a credentialed missionary of this ministry, that they're passing these out. Because here's the thing, if we can get people to pass out the Baker's Dozens from time to time,
yeah,
that's 12 people they've affected.
Yeah. 13, that's right.
Well,
they keep one for themselves.
Okay, yeah. Unless you want to keep one for yourself.
Yes, make sure you do.
But think of it.
That's right.
Hello, my name is Audrey from Paducah, Kentucky.
Hello, my name is Chelsea from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hello, my name is Kevin from Canonsburg, Pennsylvania.
And I'm a concerned citizen and valued listener.
Because of Swindled, I no longer believe people when they assure me that something will never happen again.